All right, here we go.
Hey,
what's up, everybody? Man, I was just thinking about this right before we did this. We're doing the intro now, and I'm wondering, like, do we have to do this every fucking time? Because it comes a point where, like, you just assume that all your listeners kind of know who the hell you are.
Well, you have to assume that there's somebody that has never heard it before that's potentially listening.
I guess so, yeah.
But you gotta at least say welcome to some stuck in the middle of somewhere.
Yeah.
I would
say. Well, you just said it, so yeah. Welcome to our podcast, Stuck in the Middle of Somewhere. I'm Joel Gardner, Joel F. Gardner.
And I'm Derek Sweet.
What the fuck is that shit? There's some other beeping noise going on here. Man, you got some... What was that other beeping noise that was happening?
I don't know.
Right before the phone went off.
I didn't hear that. Let's just move on. The phone rang and I silenced it. It was my father. He's oh shit.
Now we're getting like messages. Come on, why are you prepared for this shit? Where's the professionalism here in this podcast?
Ow.
Man, so...
Do you want to start over?
Yeah,
I'm Derek Sweet.
I'm Joel F. Gardner.
And this is Stuck in the Middle of Somewhere.
I was wondering if we're still doing this when we're like 65 and it's like episode 2 million and we still only have a couple thousand listeners.
Whatever.
And it's the same couple thousand.
Yeah, well, hey man, that's all right with me.
So, what's going on? Who wants to have the great Halo debate?
The great Halo I don't know what this debate is. Halo's well,
apparently
awesome.
Not our buddy Erickson. He was supposed to show up for the great Halo debate.
Is he anti-Halo?
No, he's total... Well, especially from Halo Reach, it just came out. He's all over that shit.
So, who you bought it too. I bought it. So
I went and bought it, and because I was... after talking to Erickson about it, I finally broke down and went and bought it because he did mention several very cool features.
So, in this debate, were you going to be the anti-Halo brand?
I wasn't necessarily going to be anti-Halo. I was just going to explain my reasons for why I don't particularly think Halo's the greatest FPS game ever, you know, that came out on console, I guess, is the argument. And just why there's such a huge following towards it.
I'd still give that award to Shadowrun anyways. I don't know who's saying Halo's the best fucking game ever.
Well, the millions and millions of people that are going apeshit over it right now.
Yeah, it's a good game.
I know several people on my Xbox Live. Monica, who plays Chris and Pieronage, all she plays is Halo games. It's just either Halo... Halo 2, Halo 3, Halo ODST, or Halo Wars. And there's seriously no other game that is played on her console besides a Halo.
Interesting.
One of the Halo titles.
Yeah, I know people like that too. It's just it's the first game they got into. It's the first time FPS was made decently enough to not suck on a console.
To not suck on a console, yeah. See, the reason and I'm not saying it's a bad game by any means. Like, it is a decent FPS, you know, but the reason I don't think it's the greatest or why I don't necessarily play it is because at the time that Halo came out, I was big into Counter-Strike, so going from FPS on PC to when you were really into it, which I was, and then trying to play, and then going to Halo, even looking at Halo, I was like, what the fuck? But then I got Halo 2, which sucked, man. I thought Halo 2 was terrible.
Yeah.
So I didn't get Halo 3, and...
that was my first Halo, actually.
Was convinced to get ODST. It was meh. It was... and then by this time, you know, all the Call of Duties had come out on Xbox, and when you're playing that, that's one thing, the major thing I have against Halo is that I'm not into the whole space creatures and stuff like that. Those little dudes that kind of like walk up.
They're like, ah!
Yeah, I can't remember what they're called or whatever. It just reminds me of, it's just very childish kind of for me. You know, it's just.
Halo, eh? Yeah.
Well, it just kind of comes off being that way. Even just the laser guns with just a they just don't feel powerful.
No, I mean, I had the same, when I first played Halo 1, the reason I stopped playing it was because I felt that the guns were, like you said, not only that they weren't powerful, but that the animations didn't respond to getting shot until the creature was dead. And I found that, like, you didn't know if you were hitting something, and the accuracy was so wide on all the guns. No guns had any precision at all, which was annoying.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't play. I only played Halo 1 for like the first three levels, and then I stopped, and then I skipped Halo 2 completely, and then I picked up Halo 3, and I loved it so much that I went back and played Halo 1 and 2 again, and then 3 a second time.
Yeah.
Because, I don't know, I didn't know. To me, it was all story, though. I mean, I had no idea that the main bad guy in the Halo series were religious zealots that were trying to destroy the entire universe out of their retarded faith. That was a plot that I was like, wow, that's wicked. You know, it was kind of like...
That definitely sounds cool.
No, yeah, the main bad guys are like these super religious aliens that are trying to destroy the entire universe because they think that'll bring about Judgment Day, and there's total parallels to Christianity and stuff like that, and it was heavily critical of religion, which I loved it. So then I went back and played them all. So the story really caught me in Halo 3, so I played them again. But yeah, there's technical issues, but even all those accuracy and stuff I came to start to like, because now I know if an enemy's in my reticle, I just have to hold the button down for a certain amount of time and he's dead. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like you come to this realization of a connection between ammo left and health left in your enemy, and you just kind of know because they're in that reticle, and you know if you're firing while they're in that reticle, you're taking off X amount of health. You just get a feeling for how much health you're taking off of somebody, mm-hmm. especially in multiplayer, which is why I think it's so addictive. Because you start to like really, when I feel like I'm getting burned because I took off 75% of a guy's health, and then somebody else comes in and gets the last hit and kills them, say in Call of Duty, that pisses me off, right? But in Halo, I kind of feel like it's my fault because I didn't manage my ammo correctly if that guy didn't die. If I didn't start my firing or take a break and reload, because you kind of, you get a feeling, that connection. And that, to me, was the real genius behind the multiplayer behind it, is all of a sudden I realized, wow, you got a guy in your reticle, you got him, and knowing each weapon. And
It's just not my thing, I guess it comes down to. Like, I don't like the whole being able to jump 40 feet in the air, that kind of shit, you know?
I can't jump 40 feet in the air. You got to hit the jump pads to do that.
It's not 40 feet. It's a hell of a lot. When you press jump in fucking Halo, man, am I on crack?
Maybe you don't jump that high.
You jump pretty fucking high, don't you?
Do you? I don't know. Maybe I haven't played that in a while. I haven't had time to play much Halo Reach, and I haven't played for about a year and a half since then, so...
Yeah, speaking of Halo Reach, so I broke down and picked it up, and my first impressions was, holy fuck, man. Like, when it throws you in, like, when you first load it up, and your first screen is like, okay, choose your character model, like, you build your character model, and then it goes right into the armor. Mm-hmm. And it was overwhelming to me, man.
Yeah, it was kind of weird. Eh?
Every single piece of armor, so there's like 20 pieces of armor, and then inside that is other shit you can buy. And for some reason, I already had credits, but I didn't know if I should be buying shit. And there wasn't really any sure description of how it benefited you, or which one was better, and which path you should be going, or which was for which class. And
yeah, I skipped everything. I was like, oh, okay, default.
It was annoying, man. Like, why couldn't they have, do they just assume that everyone has played Halo? So
they not only assume everyone's played Halo, they assume everyone has read every detail of every preview and has been drooling over this game for the past 3 months, which
it was too overwhelming for me. So I spent like maybe 5 minutes looking at it going, holy fuck. And then I skipped by it. Didn't spend any money. Just went right into the game.
Yeah.
And only had about an hour to play it, so I don't really have much to say about it right now. Just kinda, actually, to be honest, the guns do kind of feel better in terms of the reaction you get and the feel. Like the default gun, I can't remember what it's called, but it definitely has a better feel to it now, which I was very impressed with. But like I said, I've only played it for an hour, so I don't really have much to say about it.
I'm 3 levels in, and I'm finding the story a little bit difficult to follow, which is weird because all the reviews said they really nailed the story this time and made the story really coherent and easy to follow. And I mean, I don't find it too hard to follow, but it's so often in Halo games, I'm like, whoa, what's going, where I'm going over there. Okay. I just follow objective. Just follow go over there and do what the arrows are pointing you to do.
Yeah.
But I don't really understand why I'm doing that. But It could just be because I had one too many beer before I played the game.
I definitely don't think it's you, man. I kind of had that same feeling even just on this in the first hour I played. I was kind of like, well, okay, well, yeah, I guess I'm supposed to go in this way.
But I've been playing. I played more multiplayer than I have the campaign, and the multiplayer is really fun.
Yeah, and it sounds awesome, man. From what Erickson was telling me on the phone, it sounds incredible. And even these daily and weekly objectives they have, that they put out on a daily basis, you know, and just to keep the replay value up, I think is amazing. I definitely love hearing that shit. But there's not much I can say for why I hate Halo. I don't hate it. I'm just not into it, you know.
Yeah, no, I mean, there's better games for sure, but I'm excited about Reach because it has its class based multiplayer, which, like I said, I think Shadowrun's the best FPS there's ever been, and specifically because the classes were so well done in that. I don't know, Team Fortress 2 comes close, but it has its issues. Let's not get into it now, but I think class-based warfare is for sure the way to go in FPS.
It's definitely fun. Yeah, Team Fortress 2 is awesome until they turned it into an MMO and all these achievements. And
yeah, totally. So, I'm excited about getting more into Reach, but I seriously have been so busy with comedy and shit, I've had no time for any games at all.
Well, Lord of the Rings Online just became free this week. So a lot of really cool aspects that came along with that in terms of the store that you were telling me about today.
Yeah, I'm excited about where MMOs are going. I think it's cool.
Yeah, just the whole future of the whole, how they go about paying. The disappointing APB shutting down.
I tried to log in, and it told me my password was incorrect. I'm pretty sure my password wasn't incorrect. I thought that was, like, suspicious, eh?
Yeah, you just never get that money back that I guess you pay them for your gameplay.
Wait, I might have actually. Hold that thought.
You're going to check on that shit?
I think I might have used a different password for that game. I just remembered.
So I'll see. Well, I heard the servers are just shut down. They're not even up, and there's nothing going at all.
It updated. My client updated. And
wow, really?
Yeah.
That's weird.
So anyways, but with Lord of the Rings Online, what they're doing is it's now free to play. So I logged in with my old level 52 character, and I was just running around and could go everywhere I wanted until all of a sudden I came across a guy who had a quest that I hadn't had. And now instead of being able to accept the quest, it said purchase quest, and when I click purchase, it says you can buy all the quests in this zone for $10.
So you buy zones now, pretty much.
Which, you know, for the completionist, is
and it's across
cool.
It's across all characters, right?
All your characters, yeah. So you buy it once, and you're there. So and you've got it. So my guy's 52 now, and I don't think I need to purchase any more content because I have the Minds of Moria expansion, which I think once you buy the expansions, you get all the quests in there. There's no little quest packs for the expansion like there is for the main game.
Yeah, yeah.
Which has all of these zones, and you can really, there's like two zones that you can do for level 10 to 15, right? Like you can't do both. You'll be way out of, you could do both, but you couldn't complete both because there's just too many quests. You'll out-level the quest. You could do it, but it's not worth it. Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
some people do it. Some people are crazy about their deeds and getting them. So anyways, I'm like a lot running around, and I'm pretty sure I don't ever have to pay for Lord of the Rings Online again. I'm pretty sure my character
can now get all the content.
Yeah, the only thing I've not been able to do is access the new shared character slot, so being able to share loot between my characters. That's new, though. I never had that before, so I don't really care. Only thing that I had before when I was paying for a monthly subscription that I don't have now is the ability to swift travel, which when you go to the horses, the stables, you can travel between towns, and you can either pay one amount to actually have the horse run you there and you have to sit there and watch it run, or you can do swift travel, which means it just goes boom and you're there, you instantly warp there, it basically just fades out and fades back in.
I think I prefer I know it sounds weird, but prefer the running on the horse.
I was thinking the exact same thing.
I'm thinking about like back in the EQ days where you had to wait for the boat.
Yeah.
And it was like, when the boat was coming, everyone was running, yelling in the zone, boat's coming. Because if you missed that boat, dude, there wasn't another one coming along for another hour or two, you know?
So I was playing this morning, and that's exactly I went back to the EQ days. I felt it just like you said.
Yeah.
Just like that. I was playing it, and I was running, and I was like, wow, I never really noticed how much swift travel took me
out of the game.
The RP of the game. Which I really enjoy. I like losing my success, especially in Middle Earth, which is a story that we've all been familiar with since we were kids, and all of a sudden now I'm running around there. the Swift travel is taken away from it. I was like, oh, yeah. No, why should we be taking the time to appreciate this?
Why not?
Because the graphics are gorgeous and the music is amazing, and it really is Middle Earth. They were more true to the books than they were the movies, which I'm sure the hardcore fans love. So anyways, if you were a Lord of the Rings fan, it's free to play. Go fucking play it. Seriously, yeah. It's my favorite MMO of all time, maybe after City of Heroes, City of Villains.
Final Fantasy XIV's coming out in
yeah, what's that all about? I don't know anything about that.
Well, it's coming out. When I first heard it announced, I was all stoked because I thought it was going to be one of the first console MMOs. But now after hearing about it, it's only being released on PC, and then PS3 is delayed till March or something of 2011. And then it's not coming out for Xbox at all because of Xbox Live's gay policy in terms of, I don't know, I didn't really have time to read up on it before I got here, but something about Xbox Live, about how they could only play with other Xbox Live players or something like that, or only wanted them to, or something about their Xbox Live policy that...
Was it the NAT type?
The what?
NAT type, the NAT type?
I don't know.
Like people that have it open or don't?
Hold on a sec. Give me like 2 seconds, man. Oh, saying that the closed nature of Xbox Live is keeping the game from going to Xbox, which is, I only take that, yeah. Microsoft has a different point of view. They want to have a closed environment for Xbox Live. So I'm assuming that means closed, that only Xbox people can play with other Xbox people. And Final Fantasy is like, well, no, fuck that. You have to play with the PS3 guys and the PC guys. And
well, good for them.
Good for who? Final Fantasy?
Yeah.
Yeah, oh, I totally agree, dude.
Yeah, no, yeah. If Xbox can't provide the service to go cross-platform, then fuck them.
I'm assuming that's what it means when it's talking about a closed environment.
Yeah, huh. Well, before we go on, we have an APB update, and this is hilarious. So I want to say we've got patch notes. It's not doing anything when I
breaking
run it.
News here. Here
and
we
then
go.
Now the news is from the 18th. It says patching was down for a time today, but it is up again now. APB. But then today it says looks like the patch servers have been taken offline now. So whoever's updating the official news on here is just as surprised as anybody else as to what's
going
on.
Sounds like some dude that actually plays the game, or like a fan of the game or something.
Yeah, so yeah, whoever is writing these notes, I'm detecting a little bit of sarcasm in his notes, which is basically like, wow, I can't believe how shittily you're running this game, because like even he doesn't know what's going on. Or she.
Well, as far as I know, it was completely shut down, man.
Well, that's what it looks like, because it's not doing anything. It's not even passing the updating stage. But, like, seriously, 2 days ago, it was running. I tried, as soon as you told me it was down, I was like, what? And I went and tried to play, because I want my fucking money back. I had 35 hours of game time. I want reimbursed for my 35 hours of game time.
So Dead Rising 2 broke a bunch of records on that Xbox Live Arcade.
Nice.
It's millions and millions of copies supposedly got sold. Awesome. Which I think is wicked, dude. Could you imagine if that was like the future of a lot of games? Like if Dead Rising 2, there's no reason why they couldn't just release chapters of what love that, you know? Like,
well, how about
then
this?
Next month come up with another chapter of just a continuation of that one.
How would you have felt if it was a PlayStation 3 exclusive?
What? Oh, Dead Rising 2.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It means you'd have to buy Dead Rising for PlayStation 3. You know?
Yeah.
It's what they did.
I wouldn't
cool.
have a problem with it if PlayStation would just fix their goddamn interface in terms of being able to connect with your friends and chat with your buddies over a...
Oh, totally. No, you're right. You're right. I'm just saying, like, I thought it was kind of weird to make it an Xbox 360 exclusive. But anyways, yeah, no, that's wicked news that it broke a whole bunch of records. I was a huge fan of the download. I was like, that's some of the best points I've ever spent, for sure.
Oh, yeah.
And they're having an epilogue now. I sent you that message, but
yeah,
you never talked
epilogue.
About that.
Well, that's what got me thinking. What if they continue to do this?
I love the ideas of episodic games, man.
Yeah.
Episodic games is a great idea, and there's some of them out there, but we don't do enough of it. There should be games that come out with a 1 hour chapter every week.
That's why I'm excited about Dead Rising breaking all these records, because maybe other publishers will take notice.
Could you imagine how wicked that be if there was like a TV show game? It was a game that you played an hour and end with a cliffhanger. You're like, oh my God, what's going to happen next week?
Well, that's what Alan Wake was made out to be. That's what the idea behind it, I think.
Hold all the content back.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't care. Write it all up front. Sell me a game. Just don't charge me for each content pack, or sell the game for $10 and charge $5 per content pack.
Yeah.
Do whatever you have to do. But man, cash in on this idea of episodic video games. People are not doing it enough.
Yeah,
I love waiting and thinking all week for what's going to happen in Dexter next week. You know, like Dexter's this Sunday too.
Dude, did you see It's Always Sunny?
Yes, I did.
Spoiler alerts! Shit,
I didn't think it was very good.
Dude, I thought it was hilarious. Really? Man.
Kelsey and I were both like,
"Okay, I don't have enough facts to support my argument." I'm going to go get a Bible to come back and school you bitches.
Yeah, let me go get the Bible for my facts. Yeah, it was good. This is my problems with it. Number one, it was a South Park plot.
Oh, the whole
Mr. Garrison objecting to Mr. Slave getting married opposing gay marriage case. So number one, it was a totally stolen South Park plot. Dee's behavior around the guy was also stolen from South Park because she was gagging and almost puking whenever she talked to the hot guy. That is pure South Park. And it's a rehashed joke from a previous episode. So I was watching that. I was kind of like, not only is a lot of this kind of stolen, but it's rehashing the Dee gagging thing.
We're already friends, man. Let's just be friends with benefits.
That part was great. Charlie and Frank was good, for sure.
But I thought I was disappointed.
I'm always disappointed when I first watch news. It's Always Sunny's, though. And then when I go back and watch the whole season again,
I didn't particularly like the whole Dennis storyline with him and what's her name?
Yeah, apparently he's married now. We'll see what happens in the next episode.
Yeah.
The Dennis plots are often contrived, and I think he's probably the weaker of the three writers. Sorry if you're listening. I don't mean to offend you, but the plots are often contrived, and your acting's overacted sometimes. Shit, I should just shut up.
Oh, man. You went to the... You were in Toronto last week. You went to Roger Waters, eh?
Yeah, best show of my life, man.
I can't imagine.
First, we went to the Hockey Hall of Fame, too, which I want to say one thing before we go to Roger Waters. Shit. I go to the hockey, I'm wearing the Hockey Hall of Fame shirt. I just kind of, I thought the rest, everybody listening would know that I had done that.
Look,
I was like, look. I was tapping my chest.
Don't know what that means.
That's the universal sound for showing a t-shirt. But anyway, so I noticed this. I'm in the Hockey Hall of Fame. Great experience. But I go to one corner of the place. And I'm like, oh, there's a Nintendo Wii display with NHL 2K11 for Wii. And I was like, okay, that's fine, marketing, and I understand. But they had these three trophies for best offensive player, best defensive player, and best player of NHL 2K11. And it had a fucking...
Wait, what do you mean? In the game trophies, or like...
No, big trophies physical in glass trophies. Cases in the Hockey Hall of Fame, along the other trophies... With a guy's name that says 2008 champion Jarvid Davis or something like that. And I'm sitting there going, holy shit, I don't care. Say whatever you want about the commercialization of the NHL and all that. I am barely into hockey and I'm a gamer. And I found that extremely offensive. I was like, how dare you disrespect the greatest hockey players in the world?
How did they determine who's the best player in the fucking game?
They had some bullshit little contest, I'm sure. There was no leagues. The guy didn't have to work his way up and make sure. He probably had to play maybe 20 people to get that title, you know? And it's like, there was no...
Well, wait a second. So it was like just a guy that played the game and he got... Oh, Jesus.
Nintendo had
really?
Some kind of contest and put this guy's name in the Hockey Hall of Fame on a trophy alongside some of the hockey greats.
I thought you meant a player in the game.
No. This is a guy that plays NHL 2K11.
Jesus.
That's like so disrespectful. It's ridiculous. I was like, I don't say whatever you want about commercialization. That is bullshit disrespect to the people who being put, their name being put in that Hockey Hall of Fame is what they strive for. It's their life goal.
And this guy took 20 minutes to do it.
Yeah, well, not 20 minutes, but I'm sure there was a tournament organized. I'm sure he had to prove himself among a collection of 100 different people. That is still fucking ridiculous. That's like, oh, let's pick 100 random people that say they want to play hockey and we'll put trophies in the Hockey Hall of Fame because they... It's just... Anyway, so especially if it was an organized league of video game hockey... What's that?
I said, why on Wii, too? Like, what's with the Wii,
I know.
Man?
It was just... It was all marketing and I was offended. So anyways... That was the Hockey Hall of Fame, and then we went to see Roger Waters, which was the best show of my life. He played The Wall from start to finish, and it was the same presentation that they gave back in the 80s, but with crazy good effects.
Oh, man, I wish I could have gone.
While they're playing through the whole first CD, They're building the wall. There's 50 people in black suits coming out, and they're putting bricks, and they're building them. And the scaffoldings come out, and they're building it like 40 feet high, these bricks, and then this massive wall. And then so then they come out, and then the band's on this front stage for the second half of the concert, and the wall is now the projection screen that this massive projection projector is projecting like scenes from the movie, and you just you wouldn't believe like it was the best show.
I
I've
hope
ever seen.
You've seen the movie. You've seen the movie.
Yeah.
Okay,
I
good.
I watch again. And,
oh man. That movie affects me so much, dude.
I'm not embarrassed to say I had tears through my eyes through half this concert.
I cry like, every time I see that movie.
Dude, it was amazing, amazing experience. And then at the end, the whole crowd is going, tear down the wall. Tear down. Everyone's
just going
screaming,
through your body.
And then the whole fucking wall, boom, comes crashing down. The whole thing just boom, boom, boom. All these bricks come down. And then they come out and sing the final song of the album. That was the concert. It was like, seriously, Tool has nothing on Roger Waters. I love Tool. I love Marilyn Manson. I've seen some incredible concerts from those people. Nothing compared to this. It was
Favorite album of all time is The Wall for me, and favorite band of all time is Tool. So it's funny that you mentioned like those two bands. And Tool Live was
dude. I've seen some incredible
amazing.
Tool shows.
Yeah,
I've seen Tool shows where they had people.
Seen some
hanging.
Pretty shitty Perfect Circle shows though, man. Yeah. So be careful. That one in Vancouver where he stood there with his back to the audience the whole entire time.
This reunion show won't be like that, but
no, yeah, that sounds amazing.
So, anyways, the. It was the best experience of my life. I'll probably never see a better concert than that, and I'm amazed that I got to be a part of it. And
I'm not shocked. Roger Waters, a dream come true would be for me.
Yeah, and it's so relevant to today. Like, I mean, there were so many images of soldiers from Iraq today, and stuff.
It's timeless, I think. It's one of those things, one of those albums.
Well, let's hope not, honestly. I would love to see a day when The Wall becomes irrelevant. That would be fucking fantastic. Because, and I think Roger Waters would agree. Like, but I
have
mean,
to abolish religion.
Yeah. But anyways, as I was leaving the concert, there was like this old hippie that we were walking with. And he said to me and Kelsey, he was like, it's great to see you guys here. And we go, what do you mean? He goes, well, just my generation to yours, you know. And I go, and I was like, yeah, man, like the same shit's going on today. And he goes, yeah, no, I know. And that's what I mean. And he's like, it's amazing to see you guys here. And it's amazing to know that it's not just old hippies here, you know. And I was like, tears in my eyes. I was like, holy shit.
I've been a big Pink Floyd fan since I was 16, 17.
Yeah, it's fucking incredible. So, yeah, that was Roger Waters. And
what the fuck is with kids today, man?
I don't know what you wrote that down. What does that mean?
First of all, I heard this story where the bunch of these kids, like 12-year-old guys, watched their buddy rape this other 12-year-old girl
you told me that.
In the park, and they sat there and filmed it, which is just so disturbing on like so many levels. And then the other day, I was with a buddy, and he showed me this clip. He's like, "Hey, have you seen this clip of this chick?" Throwing puppies into a river.
Yeah, I saw news. I couldn't watch the clip.
Oh, my fucking God. I couldn't watch it, dude. Even listening to it, I was like, dude, please shut it off. Shut it off, man.
Yeah.
Oh, that is seriously one perfect example of where it is fully justified, and I would have no problem whatsoever for a dude to go up and just beat the living shit of that fucking girl, man.
Yeah.
And I would have no problem with it because... Oh my God, it was so disturbing.
Yeah, don't even describe it. I don't even want to know about it. I intentionally did not watch the video because I didn't want to know about it. All I can hear is Maynard singing, "Vicariously, I live while the whole world dies." I don't fucking want to watch those kind of clips anymore.
I don't know how people do, and yeah, I'm not even, I won't link it. I will never go back and watch either one of these clips. I don't understand how they last. Oh, dude, I can't.
But here's my challenge to you. Are kids any worse today, or are they just more publicized?
Exactly, and that was what I started thinking about is like, you know, I did some fucked up shit when I was a kid too, and there's just not people with a cell phone that had a camera built into it around to videotape
it. You didn't rape any kids.
I didn't do any crazy shit like that.
But let's just look at Clockwork Orange.
Were there kids at the time that were doing that shit?
Clockwork Orange was made in the 70s, and a major scene in that was a bunch of kids beating up a homeless man for fun, right? And I remember thinking at that time, wow, do people do that, right? So maybe it has always happened, and it's just more, it's YouTube. We can see it now. YouTube's shown us the face of humanity. Maybe that's all it is.
And in my opinion, those kids really... the ones that are videotaping it are no better than the people that are doing the act. Like yeah. the dude that was filming the chick chucking these puppies in the river is, I would have kicked the shit out of him too. I would have just gladly just beaten the living crap out of both those people because they do not deserve to live, in my opinion.
Like, yeah, if anybody does know
so
those,
disgusting.
If you know those people, please do kick the shit out of them. I would appreciate.
Well,
it.
Well, supposedly now she's all apologetic and.
Of course,
yeah, well, of course. Like, yeah, you got caught. Your idiot boyfriend videotaped it and put it on YouTube. What did you think was going to happen?
Well, you know, it's weird because, unfortunately, drowning puppies in a river is not the most uncommon of thing. I mean, a lot of rural places did. They had puppies. They didn't know. Nobody wanted them. They didn't know what to do. Put them in a bag. Put them in a river. I've seen it in plots in Archie comics, actually, I think. So it's kind of like in the old days, like there's rural people from farm towns that really are totally unsympathetic towards animal suffering. They've grown up their whole life seeing it. They're really not people to them like dogs are to us.
Mm-hmm.
My dog is one of my best friends. He's a person. He's not a fucking just an animal to me. He's just not. And, you know, but there's some more rural folk who...
Rural folk out
rural
there
folk
and
that are they play banjos and they throw puppies in rivers. I don't know what to say.
Oh man.
Not that there's anything wrong with banjos. Steve Martin played the banjo. I love Steve Martin.
He is great, yeah.
Steve Martin did not throw puppies in rivers though, so if he did I would not like Steve Martin. All right, how long have we been doing this? Ah, we're only at half an hour.
Yeah. Nice. Well, you have anything else you want to talk about? What's coming up next week? Dexter's coming up next week.
And going to Hell Sundays, let's not forget to talk about it. If anybody's in the Calgary area, you want to come out and see the best comedy show you've ever seen. Man, did we have fun last week.
Yeah,
The first show was zero people. Nobody showed up. And then last Sunday, we just had a sold-out place. And
it's because of advertising, man. Seriously, marketing is like so important.
It's slow. It takes time for people to notice. We only started half a week before the show started the previous week, so it took a week and a half for people to really know that it was back. And
yeah,
we had a good time. So if you're in the Calgary area, it's at Balance Lounge, 8 p.m. on Sundays. Come on down. We have a lot of fun. It's a crazy, dirty, dark show, and I swear you hear comedy there that you never hear anywhere else, like me graphically describing sucking Marilyn Manson's dick.
You did that? You suck Marilyn Manson's dick?
I just explain how I think it would be a story to tell, for sure, and I describe them as being, like, dragons, and it's got acidic cum, and it's all...
It's got acidic cum.
Yeah. Sorry, I kind of just ruined the joke there, but whatever.
Yeah, it already sounds great.
Hey, he's got a seven-headed dick. Like a hydra.
It's the Hydra.
Cut one head off, the rest grows back stronger.
Oh, man.
So anyways, yeah, come on down to Going to Hell Sundays and we'll have a good time.
Yeah, sounds good.
You might see Joel there, too.
Yeah, it's a possibility. I don't know if I'm going to fucking support your ass, man. Shit.
Yeah, none of my other friends do, so. Not one of my friends has been there since the...
Hey, how long did it take you to read my comic?
Seriously, I know. And it's lame to try and get your friends to support, but thankfully audience members actually showed up, so cool. All right, well, that's it, man. I gotta go in here.
Yeah, all right, yeah, I should probably go get some food. I'm pretty damn hungry.
We got tacos. You want some tacos?
Ooh, taco. Hey, taco.
Homemade tacos. She didn't just buy a kit. Kelsey's making homemade shit. Yeah, you're gonna want some of this.
All right, man. Let's do this taco shit.
Let's go eat some tacos in the non-sexual sense.
All right. Yeah, we'll catch you all next week. And Joaquin, no one gives a shit. See you all later. Their stand.
And when they've given you their all, some stagger and fall. After all, it's not easy. Banging your heart against some mad bugger's wall.